Proverbs 6, 12 through 19. A worthless person, a wicked man, goes about with crooked speech, winks with his eyes, signals with his feet, points with his finger, with perverted heart devises evil, continually sowing discord. Therefore, calamity will come upon him suddenly. In a moment, he will be broken beyond healing. There are six things that the Lord hates, seven that are an abomination to him: haughty eyes, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that make haste to run to evil, a false witness who breathes out lies, and one who sows discord among brothers.
All right, let's pray. God, thank you for this opportunity to be together this morning. And thank you for this passage at first reading, fairly discouraging, but I believe that you have something for us here this morning as we talk about integrity. So by your Spirit, just teach us. In the name of Jesus, amen. Amen. To begin this morning, I want you to think about the news that you have read recently, the social media videos that you have watched, the conversations you have had at work or at school or both. And I want you to answer this question in light of those experiences. And it's this: do we live in a world that is filled with integrity? Do we live in a world that is filled with integrity? As I think about the content that I have consumed over the past few weeks and months, I think about the election that's coming up in less than 10 days. Unfortunately, in order to play the political game in 2024, you can't really have a campaign built on integrity. Our political landscape is built primarily on lying and deceit. Over the past month, Florida has been hit with two major hurricanes. And if you've read about the aftermath, people aren't just dealing with getting their life and their house back together. They're dealing with looters, people who come around looking for things to steal, people who are looking to take advantage of others while they're in a vulnerable state. And a lack of integrity isn't just a problem in the secular world. The church is guilty too. In the past decade, we've had our own list of scandals. We've had pastors and ministry leaders in the U.S. get fired or step down for many reasons, such as abuse of power, mishandling of money, and sexual abuse. Many of these individuals were widely known in the church, and they were loved and respected. And some of us in here even benefited from some of their ministries. And yet, when it came down to it, they weren't living with integrity. And to go one layer deeper, this isn't just a problem that is out there. This is a problem in this room. Because it's a problem in each one of our hearts if we're honest with ourselves. But there is good news, and I want to start off with the good news this morning. And the good news is this: that Jesus, a man with complete wisdom, lived a life of complete integrity. He came as the King of the Jews and also the King of all creation, and he brought his kingdom to earth. And as our King, he died for our sins and for the sins of the world. And he rose 3 days later, showing his power over sin and death. He then ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father. And he has promised to come back one day and judge the living and the dead, and to set up his kingdom fully in new creation. And so this good news changes the way that we think about living with integrity. Because we don't live with integrity to earn the approval of man or even the approval of God. Because of Jesus, for those of us who have put our faith in Christ, we now have the approval of God. And so our life is a response to that truth. So this morning, I hope to convince you of this statement summarized in one sentence. And it says this: because of God and his character, we don't need to lie and we don't need to steal. We're talking about integrity this morning, and we're going to look at integrity through the lens of primarily lying and stealing. Okay, but before we look at Proverbs again, let's define the word. If you Google a definition for integrity, two results will come up. Okay, the first is this, quote, the quality of being honest and having strong moral principles. Okay, this is most likely the definition that most of us think of, okay? But the second one helps fill in some gaps, and it's this, quote, the state of being whole and undivided. Personally, I prefer this definition because when we think of integrity, we think of living in complete devotion to God. I am who I am when people are watching, and I am who I am when no one else is watching. However, when we live without integrity, we are divided, right? We may be one person when others are watching and another person when others are not watching. So to live with integrity is to be whole. It's to be undivided and completely devoted to God at all times. So back to Proverbs, okay? Integrity through the lens of lying and stealing. Lying first. If you have your Bibles open, you can look at Proverbs 6, starting in verse 17. We read that God hates a lying tongue. In verse 19, we read that he hates a false witness who breathes out lies. In Exodus chapter 20, for those of us who know our Ten Commandments, probably you younger ones know them better than us older ones, the ninth commandment that God gives Moses is this: you shall not bear a false witness against your neighbor. Okay, in the Ten Commandments, the first four commandments God gives are about loving him. It's vertical love, love from us to God. And the last six commandments are about the love of neighbor. It's horizontal love. It's love from us to those around us. And so God calls the Israelites not to bear a false witness about someone else because their place in the community could be jeopardized based off of the lie that you told. They could be shunned in an honor-shame culture that they find themselves living in. And so God is saying, don't bear a false witness that could cause people to look at them and treat them differently because of the lie that you told. This is one way to love your neighbor, right? And this is important to God, but as we looked at the beginning, it's all too common in the world that we live in. Growing up, I was a part of a friend group. Pretty much K through 12. And there was one friend in our friend group who was good at just about everything that he did, everything that he tried. Primarily in our friend group, it was academically and athletically. Unfortunately for him, but also for everyone involved, he was also made fun of by quite a few people in our friend group. And times, more often than I would like to admit, I would join in. And I would join in making fun of him primarily because of my insecurities. And I would join in putting him down. But I would also occasionally lie or exaggerate stories about him behind his back in order to put him down and to prop myself up. And over time, the sad reality is, because of this, his place in our friend group became jeopardized because of just the small, subtle things that we said about him over and over again. Can you identify with that at all? Do you find yourself lying or being tempted to lie about somebody else? Maybe somebody in this very room. Maybe not just an outright lie, but just a small exaggeration. If we're doing that, are we putting their place in this community at jeopardy? I believe there are two main factors for us to lie or to bear a false witness, and they usually work together, okay? The first is we lie for our benefit. We lie so that we look better. We lie so that our circumstances improve. And this could take many different forms, okay? I have a few examples for you. The first, we lie by avoiding being completely honest in an accountability relationship in order to avoid shame or embarrassment. Or maybe we exaggerate stories from our past in order to impress others with our stories. Or we are dishonest when we only post the best parts of our lives on social media. The second reason we lie is to harm others. Okay, for example, like I just shared, we retell a story about someone else with just a few details changed to paint them in a negative light. Ultimately, I think we lie for both of these reasons because it's actually pretty simple. We don't believe that we are safe in God. Right? Think back to our main point. Because of God and His character, we don't need to lie. We don't need to bear a false witness about somebody else. But if we feel the need to prop up ourselves or to put others down, it's most likely because we don't believe that what God says about us in His Word is good enough. And what He says about us is that we are a child of His. And therefore, we don't need to lie. We don't need to exaggerate stories to make ourselves feel better and to look good in front of others. We live opposite of how I lived with my friend group growing up. Back then, I was threatened by this friend and not resting in my God-given identity, and so I would lie about him in order to prop myself up. But church, the reality is we don't need to lie, we don't need to exaggerate, we don't need to bear a false witness because our identity is found in Christ and it's secure in him. And so instead, we live like this, Proverbs 12, 22, the second part at least. Quote, lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but those who act faithfully are his delight. Let's be people who live with integrity. We don't need to lie to benefit ourselves or to tear others down, okay? And maybe I've been a little harsh. I don't know if you guys are sensing this, but this is possible. This is possible by God's grace and His Spirit. And so if you struggle with this, if you struggle with lying, exaggerating, manipulating, don't leave this morning feeling condemned or hopeless. Yes, conviction is good and it may be necessary, but believe that this doesn't have to be your reality. God loves you enough to not allow you to stay where you are at right now. He wants to change you, and He can. He wants you to believe that the identity He has given you is enough, and therefore you can tell the truth. Because of God and His character, we don't need to lie. Secondly, let's look at some proverbs about stealing. They'll be on the screen. Proverbs 11, verse 1 says, the Lord detests dishonest scales, but accurate weights find favor with him. Proverbs 20:10, differing weights and differing measures, the Lord detests them both. Proverbs 20:23, the Lord detests differing weights and dishonest scales do not please him. All right, like lying, stealing is also mentioned in the Ten Commandments as well. Okay, God tells Moses to tell the Israelites, you shall not steal. Okay, once again, this is God calling the Israelites to love their neighbor. This is to protect others from being taken advantage of or being stolen from. Because just think about it, especially in that culture, if you steal from somebody and they suddenly become poor and vulnerable, what might they have to do in order to make ends meet? The Proverbs that we're looking at this morning are about scales and weights. Okay, a common practice during this time was for goods to be sold by weight. Okay, it's similar to buying apples at the grocery store or farmers taking their corn and soybeans to the elevator this fall. Okay, so here's an example of what this could look like today. I think Don's already done with harvest, but let's just pretend he's not. So tomorrow morning, Don Stuber starts to harvest his last field of corn. Okay, he's going to take it to the elevator. He's going to take it to the East Plant located just outside of town. Josh Juckums catches wind of this. And so he conspires with Andy Roth and Nate Fuller to cheat Don Stuber out of some money. And I actually have a picture for you guys to show you. If you want to zoom in, go to the next one. This is the plan, okay? How to cheat Don S., okay, Don Stuber. Number one, steal grain. Good start. Number two, get away with it. Okay? Yes. You can go back to the original picture. So Josh goes, and he rigs the scale so that when Don brings in his truck full of corn, the scale will show that it weighs less than it actually does. Therefore, Don will be out some money, because at least in the elevator's records, it will show that he brought in less bushels of corn than he actually did. Then Josh, Andy, and Nate can sell those bushels and pocket the money for themselves. Now, this may be a silly example. Hopefully that doesn't actually happen at the East Plant. But something like this happened pretty frequently when Proverbs was written and compiled. Okay, dishonest weights and scales were a thing. And I'm sure in some places today, it still is. Okay, but for those of us who don't have an opportunity to steal grain from Don Stuber tomorrow and then get away with it, what might this look like for us? Okay, a few questions to consider. The obvious one is this. Are you honest in paying your taxes? Are we honest in paying our taxes? Or do we let a few hundred dollars or a few thousand dollars slide and think that it's not a big deal? Next, if you're an employee who has to turn in hours, are you honest with the hours that you actually worked? If you go to sell a house, are you honest with all the flaws that are actually in your house? If you went through a self-checkout at the grocery store, then you get to your car and you realize that you forgot to scan an item, what do you do? Do you go back in and pay for it? Because of God and His character, we don't need to steal. When we steal or when we cheat people out of money, I believe that we are essentially saying to God, I don't believe that you will provide for me. And so I will take matters into my own hands. Or maybe even worse, if you already have enough and are just stealing to get more, it reveals greed and reveals your lack of contentment in God. Simply put, there is enough. From the first pages of Scripture, we see that God is a God of abundance. This is His character. The garden is filled with food to eat. It's only after Adam and Eve sinned that we see the scarcity mindset set in. The mindset that says, there isn't enough. I need to look out for myself. The flies are... And if you're sitting here this morning and you're barely making ends meet, and you feel like that God isn't a God of abundance, this is where the church comes in. And I believe that we're great at this at Northfield. In Christ, we are now a family who takes care of one another. When someone has a need, we help meet that need. Our resources are not our own, and they are meant to be shared freely. And so because of this, we don't need to steal. We don't need to cheat people out of money. Instead, we live in light of Proverbs 16, verse 11, which says, "Honest scales and balances belong to the Lord. All the weights in the bag are of His making." All that we have is His anyways. And so we can live with generosity. And when we do this, when we live like this, we live with integrity. We say no to the temptation to steal and yes to contentment in Christ. And so to summarize, the reality is that none of us in this room can live like this all the time. But Jesus did. He lived with complete wisdom that led to complete integrity. And so we will fail. But if we receive the grace that Jesus offers us in the cross and the empty grave, we are forgiven. And this grace is not meant to be abused so that we can live without integrity for the rest of our lives. Instead, this grace is meant to fuel our obedience to God so that our integrity brings glory to Him and allows those around us to flourish. And I believe this is possible. Okay, once again, there is hope. We don't have to continue in our old ways. We can be changed by the Spirit. It most likely won't happen overnight, but it's possible all by the grace of God. It's possible to not feel the need to lie or to manipulate or exaggerate stories. Why? Because you believe that you are safe in God. It's possible to not feel the need to steal because you believe that God is generous and there is enough. And so before we close with a song, two questions to ponder in order for us to begin to walk with more and more integrity. The first is this. They're both very, very simple. First, do you struggle with lying? Do you struggle with bearing a false witness about a friend, a family member, a neighbor? If so, why? What makes you feel the need to lie? Is it to make yourself look better? Is it to tear somebody else down? If that's the case, what does this reveal about your view of God? Are you not believing Him when He calls you His child? Do you believe Him when He says that He loves you and He cares for you? If we can find the answer, and if we can let the Spirit change our thinking, and then if we can repent of any known sin that the Spirit brings to the surface, I believe that lying and bearing a false witness will become less and less enticing for us over time. And secondly, do you struggle with stealing or cheating people out of money? Once again, why? What makes you feel the need to do either one of these? Do you have a scarcity mindset, thinking that there isn't enough in this world? Or maybe it's rooted in greed and you just want more and more all the while you already have plenty. Why do you want to steal? Once again, ask God to show you the answer and then repent and begin to believe that there is enough and that contentment is only found in Christ and not in your worldly possessions. So to close, I want to restate this. Because of God and His character, we don't need to lie or steal. Okay, or said in a positive way, because of God and His character, we can live with honesty and we can live with generosity. This is living with integrity. This is what it looks like to live with wisdom. Before I pray to close, if you want to go deeper, I encourage you to check out the daily guide in your bulletin. Okay, there you will find some helpful New Testament passages like Ananias and Sapphira lying in Acts 5 and also Zacchaeus in Luke 19 that we didn't have time to get to this morning. But let's close in prayer. God, thank you for sending your son to live with complete wisdom and complete integrity. And thank you for the grace that he offers us when we fail. And so I pray that by your Spirit you would encourage our hearts and challenge our hearts to be men and women who live with integrity, who say no to the temptation to lie, to bear a false witness, to exaggerate stories, and that you would give us strength and grace to say no to the temptation to steal or to cheat people out of money or to live with a scarcity mindset. Lord, by your grace and by your Spirit, give us the ability to be honest and to live with generosity. So, Father, we love you and pray this in Jesus' name. And everyone said, Amen.